I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right.
I'm sure you said Church of the Mommy Milkers, but I really heard you say Curse of the Mommy Milkers.
I love that movie. Okay. That's
a Binding of Isaac expansion. If I've ever heard.
Boys here, asking if that's a hidden blade in our pockets, or if you're just happy to see us. I am your last Egyptian Magi. It is, yes. I'm your last Egyptian Magi, Peter O'Donohue, and I am in a brotherhood with...
I'm Brendan Fraser, Ethan Palmer.
Okay.
The mummy guy.
James Miller, that's not a blade in my pocket, it's a chastity cage for my tiny cock.
Could change, Spotify. yeah, so today I'll be continuing my pump and dump of Ubisoft stock scheme by covering Assassin's Creed again. At time of writing, it's up to 20.22 euros, up from 20.22 euros from 21.4, or 2.21.4, I can't even fucking read.
What are you talking about? Effect.
Sasso Credo, baby, more Assassin's Creed.
We changed the currency?
Their stock went up from 20.22 to 21.04 euros since the last episode. So you're welcome, Yves Guillemot. We're saving the country, company, rather.
Finally.
Yeah.
Someone's got to.
Also, on the subject of our Assassin's Creed episodes, and this is not going to be like, haha, cucked you patrons by skipping the loser title game we play on Patreon, which if you want to subscribe, you can find out what that means.
It came out 2 days ago. Why are you complaining?
The episodes are clearly cursed, right? The last time, you lost internet and then got incredibly ill in the hour between recording, so Jamie and I had to two-man the first one. And then yesterday, the moment like we were going to start recording, like 10 minutes before, I lost electricity and had no power for a total of 7 hours yesterday.
Yeah.
So clearly, I want to do a quick test on the universe. Next turn, I'm doing fucking something else. I'm not going to do three in a row because I don't want Jamie to lose power this time because your number's up, buddy.
Yeah, I guess so. Now, the power went out in the neighborhood again this week. We just narrowly missed it. It's just a couple blocks north of us and all the way across town, too.
Yeah, if you look at an outage map, there's just like a little like bay, like a little sanctuary around Peter's apartment, basically.
it was pretty handy, actually. Yeah. So on the subject of the Patreon game, I'd like to welcome our newest patron.
We got a lot.
Gavin Hartsfield, Holden McGroin. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
And Maxwell Margetta and Chopliff, and also Panacea resubbed. So
and Jacob Byers. Don't forget Jacob.
Oh, I missed that one. I'm sorry.
You did miss Jacob.
Yeah. Dude, we're saying resubs now? We're just giving everyone a green card to unsub and resub.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, to be fair.
So we did the who played what last episode, so no need to cover that again. But, fellas, I guess Jamie specifically, what do you remember about the prehistory of Assassin's Creed if, for some reason, you just don't have time on your forklift to listen to two episodes?
Oh, fuck. I remember like next to nothing at the moment. I remember there.
There's assassins.
Focus into your like, chastity belt.
It was like prehistory, so it was like nothing in any of the games I'd played. But it was probably like whatever their oldest game is, like Odyssey or something. Is that the oldest one?
Historically, it is the furthest in the past. Yeah.
So we probably talked about stuff from Odyssey. There wasn't the what's his name. There wasn't the Freemasons yet. But there was like the pre-Masons,
Templars?
The Templars, yeah. The Knights of Templar.
Yeah, so it's actually the organizations we're talking about today had not been formed yet. It was the Order of the Ancients and the Hidden Ones. What we mostly focused on last time would be the ancient race of Earthlings that predated and actually created humanity called the Isu. their war with Adam and Eve, and then all the kind of like parallels to the real world of the natural disasters we have some like evidence of that reduced the population, basically. So it was very much the Ancient Aliens episode of Lore Boys, despite the fact there are no aliens in Assassin's Creed that we know of.
To date.
At time of writing. Yeah, we'll see what happens in Mirage to see if Basim gets abducted at the end and, like, you know, transported from 9th century Baghdad to Mercury or some shit.
Or Assassin's Creed 2020, where you have to kill all the illegal aliens. And they...
There goes Jamie getting political again. Jamie, the most political lore boy. Yeah.
No, I don't know. There is alien is just like a weird word, man. It just means like not from here, right? Like, yep. Could be aliens.
That's why it's space alien. You need to specifically like to specify. It's okay. Alien or ancient alien, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Which I mean, you know, R.I.P. to our Chinese balloon. But I mean, that would have been a great UFO, dude.
Did they take it down already?
Yeah, they did. I was like watching it live on CNN at the gym, and then I got home and watched a clip afterwards. It's like the guy is just like, yeah, and it's just kind of floating around there, and we don't really. Oh, there it goes, and like some pilot shot it down with a rocket.
Like, a rocket.
They like scrambled fighter jets and shot it down with a rocket, but it didn't explode. Obviously, I think the missile went right through it. Sorry.
Oh. Shot over South Carolina or something, or just off the coast.
If anyone's listening in the far future, hasn't been watching the news, there's a Chinese balloon above the United States. There's a second one above Argentina. There's suspected to be a spy balloon. We have no idea what the fuck it was, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it was funny because a lot of the discussion was just like, so like, why was it so hard to shoot down? I think it was because it was over land. They didn't want all the satellite equipment that's like all the radar shit on it to like crash into someone's backyard. So I think they shot it down over the Atlantic. You know that fucking thing drifted through Canada?
Yeah, apparently. Yep. Yeah. Came through Canada first.
Anyway, following the events that we covered in the last Assassin's Creed episode, various organizations were set up to collect and safeguard the various pieces of Eden that remained scattered around the planet after the Great Catastrophe. Again, whole episode about that shit. So if this is your first episode or you skipped the last one, the pieces of Eden
Let's say for the listeners at home, what if this was our first episode and we skipped the last one?
What if this was our first episode of Assassin's Creed?
What if this was our first Assassin's Creed episode, huh? Let's do some of that. Let's do that episode.
I didn't do my homework first.
No. The pieces of Eden are various highly advanced pieces of technology created by the Isu, the ancient race of beings that lived on Earth tens of thousands of years ago. These pieces of Eden can take various forms. There's like orbs or swords, spears, supercomputers, I think Atlantis
orbs,
as well.
Swords, sorbs, you know.
Swarbs. Swarbs. I think Atlantis as well is like a giant like data vault or something. And I know the world tree... from Norse mythology, Yggdrasil is a supercomputer that you can store people's consciousnesses inside.
Right.
That was
in Digimon, Yggdrasil, the week prior to our, it's the name of the big server that Digimon Adventures is.
Yeah, that's why the Digidestined appear through multiple Assassin's Creed games, right?
Yes, of course.
Right, you've got the Pope, who's one of the Digidestined and all that, and like Cleopatra, obviously one of the Digidestined, all that. Yeah,
You've got the quest to go kill the Pope. Then you got the quest to walk 1,000 steps with your Digimon on your belt, so you can level him up.
And you need to feed your Pope as well to make sure you don't starve to death.
Oh, but I was leveling an Agumon.
Your Tamagotchi starts putting out like white smoke when the Pope dies.
Oh, black smoke! Another day of choosing my next Tamagotchi.
Yeah, I downloaded an app where I could have an Agumon. But it turns out that he wakes up at like 8 a.m. and I often wake up at 10. So he'd wake up and he would just get like hunger fouls and he was slowly dying because I wasn't waking up early enough. So I deleted him because fuck that. I'm not changing my schedule for a Digimon.
I'm not improving my habits for this fucking virtual pet, okay?
I love how we're like middle managers.
Is getting up early... Is that like a good habit compared to like when you get up, as long as it's consistent, I think is fine, right?
Yeah, sure.
I like getting up earlier personally. Get up when you want. I get up like 7:45 these days.
Let's just make it a joke. You don't have to get defensive. Let's just make it a joke.
What?
I felt there was something under there. It was an undertone.
I like the fact that some of the people who listen to this show probably wake up at 5:30 every morning, and you're just like, I deleted my Digimon because it wakes me up at 8.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I work 10 to 6 from home, so I just roll out of bed right into work.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, so anyway, the Great Catastrophe, which is what ended the Human Isu War and had the survivors team up, was a solar flare that wiped out civilizations and forced a truce between the remaining inhabitants of Earth. There is another solar flare in 2012, which Desmond prevents at the end of Assassin's Creed 3, I want to say. I think it kills him. Spoilers for a 12-year-old game, I think.
Whoa.
Then they put his brain in a jug, and that's how you get the pirate game.
How do you stop a solar flare?
With a piece of Eden. They're magic, basically. With an
apple.
Yeah.
An apple a day keeps the solar flares away.
One piece of Eden is just like a giant pair of sunglasses that he launched into the sun. Jesus. It just hands off the solar flare.
I mean, some of the, in the last episode, I can't remember all of them, that they had like 7 contingency plans to survive the Great Catastrophe, and one of them was just like, was the Warhammer 40k orc solution, where it's like, if we just believe hard enough, it'll save us.
It'll stop.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So during the war, the physically smaller humans found that getting up close and personal with the Isu they had to kill made their lives a hell of a lot easier. It also exploited the Isu's main weakness of being stabbed in the throat.
That's my weakness too, honestly.
Yeah, if you're at home right now, just check and press against your neck to see how stabbable it is.
Yeah.
It's a very relatable problem.
Honestly, not many people know this because it's a podcast, so like, you know, it's a purely audio medium, but I do have glowing critical points on my neck that you can see, like, like you know right away seeing me that, oh, that's his critical spot right there.
And any of the pictures you've seen of Ethan, he's just one of those big ants from Lost Planet, the big orange sack on stuff. Yeah.
You have to put those PSAs out. Yeah, during sex, stab your partner in the neck the safe way. It's just like the choking thing, right? There's a couple ways to do it.
Yeah, exactly. There's ask consent before assassinating your sexual partners.
Yeah, giving a sexual partner an orgasm is like hitting the critical, right?
Yeah. It's like that. What's that game with the Lord of the Rings game? Not the Colossus.
Shadow of War?
Shadow of War.
Shadow of Mordor, excuse me.
In Mordor.
Yeah.
There's a tutorial where you hold X to stealth kiss your wife.
I love that. Yeah. That was cute. Yeah, that was a cute one. Yeah. The surprise your wife assassination tutorial I thought was pretty good. That game is good. As far as like Lord of the Rings fan fiction goes, I thought Assassin's Creed Mordor, thumbs up.
I bought it for $1, and it was worth that to me. I found it super repetitive, but
yeah, I borrowed off someone. I got, I don't know, maybe 40% through. I was like, cool, I got everything I need out of this game, which is probably the same as how I would feel about a Assassin's Creed game if I got it today. How I felt about Horizon, I was like, hey, this is a lot of fun, and then I got to a point, I was like, oh, it's just all the same for another 40 hours. So like, I'm cool.
Ethan, notorious Horizon Zero Dawn poo-pooer on the show.
Yeah, I loved it.
We've all got our hot takes.
We've talked about it before. I'm sure I would have liked it more if we didn't do the episode on it and like the story was actually something, but I completely remembered everything about it. So I was like, okay, I know what's going to happen, and the gameplay is... You guys can like it all you want. The gameplay is not in it. Like, it didn't reinvent the wheel or anything like that.
No, right? Exactly. Yeah. It's a game, dude, with wheels.
Slow-mo sliding underneath a T-Rex's belly and shooting him right in the weak point, getting up, throwing up a trap, going backwards, and like...
I got a weak point. My wife stabs me in it every night, dude. So like...
Right here, side of the neck.
The safe way, and on my birthday, the unsafe way.
Get hit blade, no condom on your birthday. So the tradition of stabbing people in the throat would continue and eventually be used on human targets, since the Isu, even throughout cooperation, since they breed slower, did die out. There were less of them the whole time, and they did die out, so you got to use your next stabbing on somebody else. So following the end of the war, the leaders of the human rebellion, Eve and Adam, settled down and had them some sex. Now, Ethan, you're the only one who's got a child and a wife, so I can't really speak too much about this, but Eve eventually gave birth to 2 sons named Cain and Abel.
Nailed it.
We have an episode about those guys, but in the SCP universe.
In the SCP universe,
that's true,
Abel's the one that they threw to the bottom of the ocean, I think.
I can't remember, and it was my script, man. Yeah, it's been a while.
One thing I find very bizarre in Assassin's Creed is I don't think Seth, the third brother, is canon, which is weird because it's his lineage that leads to like Methuselah and Noah.
Cain was one.
Sorry?
So I think I see Ethan looking it up, and it was Cain. I just remember because Cain's the ultraviolet one.
He's the evil one anyway.
Yeah, so he's the ultraviolet one that was killing everyone. That's why they submerged him in the ocean. And they brought Abel, his brother, to be like, talk him down. You're his bro.
Abel can be killed or something.
They hugged it out.
I Googled it once, got to the SCP wiki. I said, nah. And then I Googled Seth from the Bible, and it took me to the French Wikipedia page for some reason.
Cain kept killing his brother over and over again. Brother kept resurrecting, but like calmly talking to him till eventually they like cried in each other's arms and happy ending. Yeah.
Listen to our SCP episodes. I find it bizarre that Seth isn't included in this story here because like they canonize in Assassin's Creed a bunch of disasters, and like Noah's flood probably happened because a lot of people in that area, like in Jordan, have mythology about a flood, but like
flood.
He's just not there for some reason. And like obviously Abel didn't have any kids, and then Cain was banished, so they just
Abel wasn't able to after what his brother did to him. So
what was their whole thing? It was like Cain had
I'm gonna get into it actually.
Okay, it's part
of the canon here. So yeah. Good. Within our Bible, Cain and Abel appear in the book of Genesis, and just the holiest scripture, the Assassin's Creed wiki, they are the sons of Adam and Eve. Cain became a tiller of soil, which I think is like an agricultural farmer, and Abel was a shepherd. The brothers frequently made sacrifices to God. However, their work was not equally received.
Yeah, Cain was a jealous little bitch. He's like, why do you like Abel's piggy wigglies, but you don't like my carrots?
Yeah, and then hang on. Old Testament God is a fucking maniac, but also super cool. Because, like, why did he's just like, yeah, sorry, fuck you, nerd. What do you want? Vegetables? Fiber? Balanced diet? Abel is going to slit this lamb's throat. Whatever, at the Temple Mount, and that's cool. So actually, suck it, Cain. So I think his grievances were perfectly valid because like you can't feed the lambs without agricultural farmers, right?
And then Cain's all like, well, if you like lambs being slaughtered, add my brother to your fucking flock, right? And then Cain goes behind Abel and kills him and
spring blood, loaded knife.
Yeah. Blood goes into the soil.
Old Testament God clearly has no fucking comprehension of supply chains, is what I'm saying here. Is that he does not respect the farmer at all.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta respect the bottom.
The farmer of bottom. I like that. All farmers are bottoms. Okay.
Yeah. Teach a man to farm, he'll eat for a day. Call a farmer a bottom, and he'll eat for tonight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Stabbed in the neck.
Yeah. That's the story, though, right? Cain gets jealous of Big God, Big G, giving all the praise to Abel. So he kills Abel, and then God casts him out.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, after years of having sacrificed livestock pinned to the fridge for his accomplishments and none of his like sugar beets or whatever Israeli crops were 2,500 years ago, Cain grew resentful and murdered Abel. For this, Cain was banished to the land of Nod to wander the desert. Nod is the Hebrew root word for wander, and they're also the bad guys in Command and Conquer, the Brotherhood of Nod.
Yeah, the Brotherhood of Nod.
Yeah. We have an episode about that from a few years ago, I think, if you want to check that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Assassin's Creed, Abel is still murdered out of jealousy, but in this case, it's because Abel is given a piece of Eden rather than being a good shepherd, right? He's got some sci-fi technology that Cain didn't get. As the older brother, if my parents were hybrid superhumans with sci-fi technology, and they gave one to my younger brother, and I was the guy farming sugar beets day in, day out, waking up at 10 like some kind of fucking schlub to go till my soil, right? I'd get pretty pissed off as well. That's when farmers wake up, right? You can start your farming day at 10 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
He's technically working from home, right? You fucking
farming, here's the thing. It doesn't matter what time you wake up, as long as you wake up at the same time every day.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So for his crime, Cain was banished to the desert, which in this case is just referred to as East of Eden, which I think is a TV show or something like that.
It's a book.
So Ethan, your criticism, by the way, totally correct. My phone, my alarm clock often says set an alarm to have a more regular sleep schedule because my sleep schedule is so irregular. Even my phone nags me about it.
So. I have a pretty regular sleep schedule. I got to say it's fucking great. I track mine on my phone. It's fantastic.
When as soon as I go on vacation, I'm up all night. Like yeah. I'm up till 5-6, like just naturally. And that's when I'm comfortable. And then I'll sleep till I'm not tired anymore, and then do it again. But
yeah, however you got to do it. So yeah, Cain was banished east of Eden and branded this time with a red cross. This cross would become the symbol, representing the children of Cain. Others who thought, like, yeah, maybe it's okay to kill people to get pieces of Eden would eventually join him. And this philosophy obviously stands in direct opposition to the Hidden Ones who think, yeah, maybe it's okay to kill people to get pieces of Eden.
Yeah.
Which, right? Why not? It's not. That's what we're saying?
What I'm saying is the Templars and the Assassins have the exact same ideology.
I mean... That's a pretty powerful sci-fi alien.
Not alien. It's just advanced, right?
Okay.
It's advanced even by our standards because it was all wiped out by the catastrophe.
It's ancient robots. I'm assuming you guys drank last time.
It's not ancient robots, but we can if you want.
I mean, it is. It's ancient technology that was lost and is being rediscovered.
I'll take a drink. Yeah. But like since the past, no one has managed to reverse engineer the papal staff, apparently, to figure out how the fuck it works. So
Jamie taking a shot of CLR.
Lysol in his wine.
I got some bleach, yeah. Takes the edge off.
Ooh, the vanilla scent. vanilla lemon. Don't mind if I do. Yeah. I'll take a Lysol on the rocks.
Just
a little cocktail umbrella.
Just tastes like burning.
Yeah. It's just like the toothpick on the little umbrella is like starting to dissolve. In the Lysol. So the children.
But
of
your
Cain
glass is so clean.
Yep. Yeah, if you drink bleach, you never have to clean your glass.
Mustache is all white around your mouth. You're like, oh, that's mine actually. I sleep great.
Dude, I'm excited for the salt and pepper red beard that I'll have in like 10 years or so.
I'm getting the poly walnut wings more and more every day. I found some grays in the side here.
Poly walnut wing.
That's from Sopranos. He clearly has wings in his hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. If you say it's from Sopranos, then yeah, I know. You're talking about.
So the children of Cain were the first to start their disturbed political party, which is why it would explain why in our present day... thank you. They're more politically powerful. They have like centuries of a head start over the Assassin Order. Now, this is kind of funny. Assassin's Creed is overall a bit of like a Fed series where like, oh, people with power sure do suck. But like both sides murder people is kind of the point of every single one of the games. Right. That's why I kind of alluded to that a couple of minutes ago. It's like focused because it's Ubisoft, of course. It's like focus tested to the point where it doesn't say anything. Like, so yeah. I wrote this in here because I wanted to refer to this other guy. A quick side note is on YouTube, there's a channel called FD Signifier, and he's got a couple episodes about Disney's Black Panther movies where he also is just like, you know, this isn't really that empowering considering one of the main characters is like in the CIA, basically. Yeah. Yeah, he does like his videos
notoriously
are very...
not good for civil rights.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
CIA.
Yeah, I recommend his channel. He's quite funny, but they're very long videos. So if you want, like, if you have 90 minutes to kill, I'd recommend looking up some of his video essays. I find them quite interesting.
I never do. Cool. Just to finish my thought on the disturbed political party, it's get down, Mr. President. Instead of get down with the sickness.
I still watch compilations of people.
The president.
People messing that one up. It's so good. Like it's like dolphins sometimes. Like I can't do a good dolphin, but
no, they're difficult to do an impression of.
Yeah. Of all animals.
Well, I mean, not like a cow is easy.
Do a cow.
Moo.
Okay,
that's not a very good cow. Yeah.
What is the onomatopoeia of a dolphin? It's just a bunch of E's in different cases.
Yeah. I had a boss once. We were talking about
he was a dolphin.
we were talking about. He was like, no, he was a pretty straight.
He masturbated the zoo.
He's like a pretty straight faced, serious dude. And he didn't make like a lot of jokes. And we're talking over lunch, like we're at a food court or something. We're just talking about different sea animals. And like, well, dolphins are like pretty bad for taking advantage of other dolphins and people. So like dolphin rape is a real problem, right? So anyway, so we keep on
define
like
a real problem.
Yeah, okay. For context. for anyone who's being raped, and I'll stand by that. Sure. Okay. Yeah. And so anyways, conversation continues, and like half an hour later we finish lunch. I go and I'm like dumping out my food into the like garbage thing, and my boss comes up behind me and goes like, and I'm like, ah! He pretended to be a dolphin taking advantage of me. And that was
That's a problem for HR.
Yeah, I honestly, it was really funny coming out of this guy just because he didn't really make jokes like that.
So. Yeah. A friend of mine is like one of the funniest guys I know, but like again, very, very straight laced, very kind of normal guy. But he never misses is the thing. Always comes correct. Where was I here? Right. Anyway, the Sons of Cain would continue to like loosely operate for centuries until 1334 BC, when during the 18th dynasty of Egypt, Pharaoh Smenkhkare established the Order of the Ancients. He had at some point come into contact with Isu technology, either a piece of Eden or like some other relic, or maybe found one of the temples that would have been in the Middle East or in North Africa at this time, because a lot of early human civilizations in the real world are, you know, on top of like Isu vaults and whatnot. But this part is unknown. We don't know exactly how he figured out that the Isu were there, but he perceived them as gods and, you know, took a lot of their names, just like in the like Jupiter and Juno are all like real mythological gods. There are the names of actual Isu people, basically.
Cool. A cursed episode. My mic crapped out, so I'm on my headset mic for now.
Fuck me, man.
Until the break. I'll fix it at the break. But yeah.
God damn, Assassin's Creed.
Couldn't immediately fix it. But.
Smenkhkare, fun facts, died in 1334 BC, so something about him setting up that, we can say Loreboy's canon, led to his demise. Sure. And also, there's pretty good evidence that he was in a homosexual relationship with Akhenaten, who might be a more well-known pharaoh of that era.
I don't know, because I have a couple notes about Smenkhkare here. In the real world, all we really know about him is that he was a pharaoh of Egypt for at least a year. Who his parents are and exactly how long he ruled is like super vague. Or how many times he got stabbed in the neck by Akhenara or whatever that guy, the other guy's name is?
Akhenaten.
Akhenaten?
I know Akhenaten. Maybe this is why I think that it's a more commonly known pharaoh. I just know there's an After the Burial song called Praising Akhenaten, I think it is. And that's the only reason I know the name. And so I'm like, I know I've heard the name before, so surely it's more popular. But
I know their song Tractor Pull.
You're thinking of Within the Ruins.
Oh, another one of those. Yeah. Within the Ruins, After the Burial, something vaguely death-like with three words in it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Speaking of ruins. Smenkhkare's rule is basically pieced together from like different sources that have been discovered around like Egyptian sites, like the tomb of King Tut and like a vase that has like an inscription on it that apparently like it's like a wine decanter. It alludes to his rule for a year.
In the sealed urn from the 14th century, we found Smenkhkare's favorite dolphin penis.
Okay, so here's a thing that I wrote here that this kind of relates to you. The thing that I read just on Wikipedia was that we were fairly sure his father was Akhenaten or Akhenaten.
Akhenaten,
yeah, exactly. Who like and the note I have about him? So not a homosexual. I mean, I guess there's a lot of inbreeding in Europe. Yeah, that too. In Egypt.
So he was married to Akhenaten's daughter. There's some evidence that shows like, oh, they're like, you know, marriage by whatever, but actually was together with Akhenaten. But also it's like possibly Akhenaten was his father, but it's a very I don't know if you guys are familiar with Sappho and her friends, the subreddit.
That's, yeah,
It's like old historical stuff where it's obviously a gay couple, but people are like, why are those two women living together? They must be great friends.
Yeah, exactly. These two were buried hand in hand, and you know, there's they're wearing like matching jewelry, and there's evidence that they lived together their whole life. Boy, what great friends, huh?
Real close friends.
Just willful ignorance of gay people in the past is basically summing up.
One of the things that Akhenaten probably did was briefly abandon Egyptian polytheism for a time. And then after he died, everyone was just like, that was odd, and went back to polytheism, their true religion, basically. On the subject of polytheism,
it's probably better to diversify, right? Because, like, one of the gods will probably like you at least.
Well, think about it. If you've only got the single god portfolio like Cain and Abel did, and he doesn't like your sugar beets, then your investments are fucking worthless.
Yeah.
But that guy with the snake head who, like, birthed himself through his own cum or whatever, Set, that's a way better thing to do. And then you can invest in the sun god, too, if you need to, right?
Yeah, then you have your hand in every pharmacy for the rest of life or something, because your face is on every logo.
Oh, the stick or whatever.
Yeah, with the snake around itself. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Hippocrates. That's a Greek thing. And that is actually a piece of Eden. And he's been living in Atlantis for centuries within Assassin's Creed. So his scepter with the snakes on it is a piece of Eden. It's another magic staff like the Pope's staff.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, it's like to your polytheism point, it's like, I think it was Voltaire who said on his deathbed, a Catholic priest asked him if he would renounce Satan, and he said, "This is no time to be making enemies."
Yeah. That's a great line.
Yeah, I'll pray to God. I'm not gonna renounce anyone though.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, whoa. So on the subject of polytheism, the Order of the Ancients eventually thought of themselves as the successors to the Isu, and began to worship Jupiter, Juno, and Minerva. You do see and meet all three of these characters as holograms in Assassin's Creed, at least 1-3. I don't think you meet any of the Isu in Assassin's Creed 4. I do not recall. But these three were Isu elite, who we did talk about extensively in the last episode, because Minerva and Juno were heavily involved in the creation of the human race scientifically. And the Jupiter was called the father of understanding for a time. He was another very important Isu guy. Cool. Yeah.
Sorry, I missed the last episode. The Isu are like the gods canonized as this other race, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because Minerva is the goddess of wisdom, right? And Jupiter is the god of gods, I think.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think it's to get more stupider, but.
Okay.
Yes, both those things. Juno and Minerva were scientists, basically. And Juno, I think, is the bad guy. She ended up trying to, store her consciousness so that she could be reborn in the future, post-Great Catastrophe. Again, I don't mean to blow past all this for you, Ethan, here, but yeah.
It's my bad for getting sick last time, I guess.
Well, you know what? The Assassin's Creed curse will strike us all eventually. We've all been hit by it.
Tricking us all. Yeah, it's
tricking us all. I like it. I can stand up and walk around a little bit.
I closed your camera because it was too distracting. You're just walking around your apartment. I was like, what is he doing? Where is he going? What's he going to do next?
He's T-posing for his now?
Exactly. Just so you know.
T-posing with my white wine. This is what adulthood is all about, baby. Yeah.
If you're pantomiming, if you're doing physical comedy, I am I'm a good A/B testing for our listeners right now. I'm essentially like a Jamie podcast enjoyer right now, where I can't see but I can hear the hilarious goofs and gaffs that you'll make.
Okay, cool. Well, actually, you know that chastity cage from the beginning of the show? I've completely put it on, and I'm just full frontal naked for Peter.
I mean, the back of his chair is in the way. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
So the Order of the Ancients eventually went on to help Darius the Great overthrow the usurper and become the ruler of the Persian Empire. This did happen in real life, and I would like to give credit to the Assassin's Creed writing team for calling the man who Darius overthrew the usurper, since Bardia was the legitimate ruler of Persia, thus making the Order of Ancients support the bad guy. So the whole, history is written by the victors thing here is very, I think, creatively used, in that the legitimate ruler is now in canon known as a usurper.
Okay, Darius the usurper is what they say.
Darius overthrew the usurper, but the usurper was just marketing because the man he killed, Bardia, was the legitimate ruler.
Yeah, so I'm on the wiki page, sorry. Yeah. It says, Darius ascended the throne by overthrowing the legitimate Achaemenid monarch Bardia,
yeah,
whom he later fabricated to be an imposter named Gamada.
Yeah, so same thing in Assassin's Creed, but but in this case it was the Order of the Ancients that did it, that sponsored the assassination, basically.
But Darius was a usurper, right? He overthrew the legitimate monarch. He just pretended like it was a different guy.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Gomata.
Yeah. The order would go on to assist Darius's son Xerxes on his mission to conquer Greece. During the movie 300, his son Xerxes would fight Leonidas at the Battle of Thermopylae. Exactly. Just like the movie, Xerxes lost the battle, possibly due to the fact that Leonidas, king of Sparta, had an Isu spear the entire time. The spear of Leonidas is another relic. The shaft was broken at some point and Leonidas was killed, but the spearhead would eventually be passed down to the mercenary Cassandra or Alexios, depending on who you choose to play as in Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And the other, whoever you don't play as, falls in with the Cult of Cosmos, which for some fucking reason is an unrelated secret society of weirdos who serve as the main antagonists of Assassin's Creed Odyssey. They're not
That's what I call them, the Order of the Ancients. Them scientists at NASA, I think them the cult of the cosmos, you know? Have we ever been to the moon? I haven't seen it. Not with my own eyes. Yeah.
The sky's an illusion by the cult of the cosmos.
One of my favorite things I saw recently was like Indiana Jones 6 or whatever. It's just like, oh, Indiana Jones takes on Nazis in the 60s, and someone was just like, what, is he going to fight NASA? Like, what the fuck? Anyway, we're going to find out how many assassins work with NASA after the break.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm back, everybody. Thanks for listening to the ad. So in our real world, the real Xerxes was eventually assassinated by Artabanus. However, our Xerxes in Assassin's Creed was assassinated by a different guy named Darius for some fucking reason. Whoa. They used the same name for two characters existing like a decade apart. I'm very shocked at this, with the amount of research the Assassin's Creed writing team clearly does, that they like would duplicate a name. And this isn't like across series. It's like within Odyssey. They use this guy's name twice, and they're different dudes as well.
They brought George R. R. Martin onto the writing team just to muddy shit up a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, name a couple guys the same, have them fuck their sister, and then we can ship this thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, it would be like Barius, and then 17 hours into the game, he'd be like, well, no, actually, my name is Darius. And it's like, okay, thanks, Melatonin.
The only thing I could think is if they're going for the, like, if they're trying to establish like a theme of like patricide or like fratricide, you know, where like Darius was his father, right? Xerxes' father. So like,
yeah,
going for that, like, you know, killed for the sins of the father. They're going for like some sort of symbolism by calling the guy Darius, but it's like, it's very much a rule of like fiction to not name two characters the same thing. It's just like,
yeah. Confusing. Especially when they're like 15 years apart in your timeline that stretches back to the year 75,000, that like, yeah, both these Dariuses like were neighbors and they're both important to fucking Xerxes in the Battle of Thermopylae, yeah, right?
And it, yeah, like, if you want to show like through lines or similar themes between the two, like, show, don't tell, don't just name them both Darius, like,
yeah, have them both weird.
Yeah.
On the subject of Darius though, and this is a correction I think from Chaz, one of our patrons on the server. Correction from the last episode, Darius, who assassinated Xerxes, actually invented the iconic hidden blade. And it's what he used to kill Xerxes. Xerxes being the first noted hidden blade kill in history, basically.
Okay. I didn't get far enough. First noted knife throat fuck.
Yes.
Got
it. Precisely. Yeah.
Well, wasn't even his birthday.
Yeah. Well, no. He had like sheep organ on the blade.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Darius, I think, is in the DLC called Legacy of the First Blade. I have the complete edition of Odyssey, but I never got far enough for him to tell me. Or like, I think I fought him once. It's a horrible fight that I hated. And I did not get to the point where if he gives Cassandra a hidden blade, didn't get to that point. Anyway, Legacy of the First Blade, Darius invented it, killed Xerxes. Also, one of the things that you mentioned, Ethan, before your internet died and you got sick last time was like, oh, they hadn't invented the spring. As a little bit of trivia, hoping you'd survive this episode, the coiled spring wasn't actually invented until 1763, making this a pretty serious retcon for the Ubisoft team.
We looked this up last week.
Did we?
Yeah, or on the last episode. I don't know if it made it to the air. Maybe it was like while we were waiting for something.
Maybe.
But I just typed who into Google and it was like, who invented the spring was what popped up. For sure.
You don't always share all your Google searches with us. Maybe that was what was for you. But
I would be amazed if I didn't butt in with my, well, actually, right? I have the spring wiki page up.
The match was invented before the lighter, and the spring was invented before the blade.
Yeah, true.
No, not sure.
Yeah,
not true.
Exactly.
The blade is invented before the spring.
In like 365 BC, they invented the coiled spring so that someone could kill Xerxes with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Darius' son or daughter, Natakis or Nima, so that depends on whether or not you play as a man or a woman in Odyssey, respectively, would eventually fall in love with the player character, Cassandra or Alexios, and sire Elpidios. Elpidios being the canon son of whichever couple this is.
And that's Spanish for the foot, right?
Elpidios? It's when you have like tendonitis or something, you go to Elpidios to help you out, right?
Okay.
They just tell you to do stretches, you go for an x-ray. Nice. So he was a hidden one and an ancestor of Aya, who is one of the player characters in Assassin's Creed Origins, and the wife of Bayek, the other player character in Assassin's Creed Origins. So you do not get a choice in Origins, but you, depending on the mission, go back and forth between Bayek and his wife Aya, and Aya is a direct descendant of Darius and the player character from Odyssey. So we're establishing
Jackie.
The link. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bayek was a magi, which is kind of like a secret policeman in Egypt. I don't know if they were real, but they are very much like plainclothes law enforcement in ancient Egypt. That's how you start the game in that one. He would later discard this title after his child is killed. So this is going back here. So Natakis or Nima, so the partner to the player character, is killed within Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Darius then takes his grandson Elpidios to Egypt to continue his life, and then, you know, the rest of the Assassin's Creed franchise. So Darius survives, son killed, grandchild or grandson in canon, taken to Egypt, then therefore to establish the family bloodline that would go from there.
Just because it ties in, the Magi were originally, and I did look it up to confirm, but they were the three wise men that gave Jesus gifts on his birthday. Like, the gift of the Magi is the gift of myrrh, frankincense, and gold, right?
Interesting. Okay.
So, they would be, like, it fits this Assassin's Creed canon pretty well, I think, that they are, like, people who are involved and know what's going on, and when Jesus is born are probably involved as well, right?
Gifts, I think, it's also the computer in Evangelion is called Magi. I can't remember, though. I haven't watched it in a while.
That sounds like a 30-minute mage buff or something. Gifts of the Magi. Here, raise intellect by 45 for 30 minutes. So,
so the Order of the Ancients' next major project was Alexander the Great, who, while carrying one of the staves of Eden, became one of the longest movies I've ever seen. Alexander would eventually discover an Isu temple at Herat in Afghanistan and then build his own temple there. The Citadel of Herat is a real place in Afghanistan, which you can go to. It has tourism hours for some fucking reason, because I guess the Taliban still wants to, like, raise money somehow. I don't really know. Or it's, at least when I Googled it, it said Citadel of Herat closed and click more for hours on Google. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be popping by, but sure. We can do Lore Boys live from the Citadel of Herat. You want to do that?
It's a cool looking building.
Yeah, it is.
It's impressive.
You know, in Germany, there's a Church of the Mommy Milkers.
Jamie, you can't just say that. You can't just say that.
Look it up, look it up, my brother.
I'm Googling Church of the Mommy Milkers.
Why not?
I'm on air.
Not without a VPN.
And stuff. People got to subscribe to the Patreon if they want me to Google Church of the Mommy Milkers for them.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's true, dude. It exists.
Church of the Mommy Milkers, like in canon, I guess, could be a Templar temple in like Cologne. Right.
I'm sure you said Church of the Mommy Milkers, but I really heard you say Curse of the Mommy Milkers.
I love that movie. Okay.
That's a Binding of Isaac expansion, if I've ever heard.
Yeah, no, that's it's the sequel to Curse of the Dead Gods. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's just another roguelike, but there's bigger boobs in it.
Yeah.
Okay, all I get Church of the Mommy Milkers is like,
oh, you did it.
Like what I can only assume is a fake Google Maps, or a Dr. Google's map, Google Maps image, because there's one outside of London, there's one in the Midwest, there's one in Germany, but I can't actually, like, it doesn't bring you to a link to it. So,
well, it's pretty exclusive church, man. You think they let just anyone in? Everyone wants in.
That is true. You've got to piece together the many clues. Here's a codex and a cipher. You're gonna have to piece together that the hidden word is apple.
Oh, it's like Nicolas Cage stars in National Milkers. Like, that's a great movie.
Okay, Google Maps can't find it. You got by the internet, my friend. As much as I want to believe.
Oh, my God. Well, I'll keep my secrets because I know. How to
So what's a really cool thing here about
you gotta
this
wake up at 10 at night.
A really cool thing about the Citadel of Herat, it's very much like a real life ship of Theseus, because it's in such a good location that it has been like conquered, taken over, destroyed, and rebuilt dozens of times over the past 1,000 years. So it was originally built by Alexander the Great, but obviously he left and it was eventually taken over by other civilizations in the area. So yeah, it's pretty neat that it's still there and still looks like super fucking cool. A lot of this like old architecture is very neat.
Sorry, Ethan has posted the search. I love the idea because, like, usually we hang out with his wife before the show, but this time I think since it's late at night, she went to bed, like, waking up first, and just that's what's on the screen is Church.
Google Maps can't find it. I can't look at
maps. So, yeah. My wife will never think to look up my porn history in the Google Maps search.
Yeah, you zoom in on like the Google Maps car driving by someone's house who's already watching porn.
Yeah,
it's like you got to get really creative once you're married. I can't
get off unless the face is blurred.
Look past a tree and I'll blurt out license plate. Yeah. So anyway, the Order of the Ancients would continue propping up emperors, regardless of Mommy Milker status, for centuries, including the Qin dynasty in China and even Julius Caesar. After assassinating Julius Caesar, which was Aya, actually she did it, Bayek and Aya would officially found an organization called the Hidden Ones. So up until this point, they didn't really, like, they weren't organized enough. There was a lot of people who would do assassination, but it wasn't under, like, an actual, there was no creed, I guess. They didn't have,
that's
like,
that's why they called
rule.
It Origins, because he made the Hidden Order. And it's the origin of the Assassin Creed.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never beat the game, and I had assumed it was the origin of the Hidden Blade, which is not true, because when Aya gives it to you, she says it's from ancient times, which it's just like, you guys are currently in, like, it's like set in, like, 34 AD. Like, what do you mean ancient times? Like, again, another weird, like, two Dariuses? I'm not comfortable with Milhouse having two Dariuses in his history class, okay? That's one thing.
Dude, I remember there's crocodiles in that game. I remember beating the shit out of a crocodile with a hammer, and it was very satisfying.
Man, so that's funny. The main reason I bought Assassin's Creed Black Flag, it was my first Assassin's Creed game, and I was like, you know what? I've never killed a whale in a video game. And there was like a really good whaling minigame in that, and I was like, that's how I got into it, nice. Basically.
Did you like pull it onto shore, and it like starts like making sad whale noises as it kind of like runs out of breath, or like how was it cool?
No, it's not that brutal. No, you have to, okay. You have to like catch, or you have to kill and butcher them at sea, because it's, you know, the 1500s in that game. So okay. You don't have an industrial whaling ship. The Jackdaw is sadly just is a wooden sailing ship. She doesn't have the harpoon cannon from Avatar 2.
When you finally throw the harpoon with the string on it, but then it wraps around your foot and drags you down or whatever, like that. What's that old man in the sea? Is that the guy with the whale?
No, you're thinking of like
Jaws.
Moby Dick.
Yeah.
Moby Dick. Yeah. That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Old you man know when your boat's dragging, being rowed behind a whale, it's called a Nantucket sleigh ride, I believe.
Mm. Sure.
Yeah.
Did you know that 50 years ago, Oregon exploded a whale in a burst that, quote, blasted blubber beyond all believable bounds?
Yes, I've watched the video. It is horrifying, actually. Yeah. They were like, well, we don't know what to do with this 25-ton whale. And they were like, dynamite? And they were like, yeah, how much is enough dynamite to blow up a whale? People's cars were destroyed when like 40-pound chunks of meat crashed into their room.
Yeah, and the whole town stank for like months.
Oh. You know orca whales?
Whale flesh.
If a great white shark sees an orca whale in a zone in the sea, the shark will avoid that area for up to a year because they're so scared of orcas. Orcas know how to flip them upside down so they become immobile and then start eating their gonads and liver.
Yeah, cool. Orcas are absolutely apex predators.
Yeah.
Like you don't fuck with seawolves.
Right? Yeah, they literally hit the shark with the stun and then eat their nuts. Like.
Yeah. They do the get rotated idiot meme, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
There's like a video in like some like BBC Earth or some nature documentary where there's like a whale trying or a seal trying to escape from a pod of orca whales, and it pops up onto like an ice floe, and they all get together and like swim side by side to make like a crest of water that just washes it off the ice floe, so they
so can crazy
catch it. Yeah,
I've seen that too,
very smart.
And they're dolphins, not whales, as well, which is pretty cool. They're
porpoises, yeah.
Porpoise.
Oh. That's why my boss snuck up on me like that.
Okay. You got Jamie's boss washing him off an ice floe with the rest of the executives.
Well, I guess that's the episode art.
Yeah. Yeah. He's throwing Pepsi with a wasp in it on me and I'm like just sliding off the side.
So yeah. So after assassinating Julius Caesar, the couple, Bayek and Aya, would, along with other people, would continue murdering powerful or rich people that you've heard of throughout history in an effort from stopping them from gaining too much power. But since, like, history, like, real-world history has proceeded basically exactly the exact same way in Assassin's Creed, the Hidden Ones have really absolutely achieved nothing. Like, everyone they've ever assassinated, like Julius Caesar or Adolf Hitler, is just, like, they didn't prevent anything ever, right? Like in canon, Adolf Hitler is assassinated in Berlin in 1945, where he had already been elected chancellor in like 12 years prior to
12 years ago.
Yeah, to make it to, yeah. It's like what the assassin order is from... just like throw up their hands and be like, well, he said he wouldn't. It's just like, oh yeah. It's great.
Yeah. They should have done
Despicable Me.
They should have done like the Brotherhood of Nod, or no, it was the GDI. They should have sent Einstein back in time to become an assassin. And to join the assassin order to assassinate Hitler before the war.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, like basically the assassin's crew I was very proud of this apparently because I capitalized it when I wrote this, is the assassins are just the secret order of radical centrists. Is basically like as political as they ever got.
Dude, yeah. If Einstein was only accepted into art school, then we wouldn't have this space-time bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wouldn't have the atomic bomb if people liked Einstein's paintings or whatever. So both the Hidden Ones and the Order of the Ancients withdrew from England, along with the Roman Empire, but would return after King Arthur discovered Excalibur in an Isu vault under, guess?
Camelot.
Nope.
The sea.
Kansas.
Nope. Yes.
Topeka, Kansas.
No, I thought this would be easy. It's under Stonehenge. Stonehenge was an Isu vault where King Arthur found a Isu relic, a piece of Eden, a sword called Excalibur.
That is fair. That could have been guessed if we just kept guessing locations in England, I guess.
Yeah,
Camelot was a fine guess.
The Garden of Eden is in Missouri. So it's, I mean, if we're going by Assassin's Creed Mormon timeline, I suppose Excalibur could be found in Kansas. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
In Topeka. Both the factions, both the Hidden Ones and the Order of the Ancients, would return to England in the 9th century, which is when Assassin's Creed Valhalla takes place. So this is going to be spoilers for that game because it is newer, but it is important. After helping Ivor, who is the player character, man or woman, assassinate multiple members of the Order of the Ancients within England, Alfred the Great revealed that he would be changing the mission of the Order. So what you're doing in that game is taking orders from Alfred. At least is what I understand from reading about the summary, at least. Alfred the Great has the Viking Ivor assassinate other members of the Order of the Ancients so that he could restructure it. He is actually part of the Order itself. He abandoned the worship of the Isu, Jupiter, Juno, and Minerva, and began to worship only the Christian God, thus changing the Order into the Knights Templar. So it was Alfred the Great who did the rebranding in the 9th century.
Okay.
The Templars would then go over to take over the Catholic Church. Pretty cool. And then initiate the Crusades. The first Assassin's Creed game takes place in the 1190s during the Third Crusade. Then the Hidden Ones would also officially rebrand around 1090 when they were being led by a man named Hassan e Saba from Alamut in Persia, which is now in Iran. Hassan is a real historical figure born maybe in 1050. We don't really know. And his full name is, and bear with me here, Hassan bin Ali bin Muhammad bin Jafar bin al-Hussein bin Muhammad bin al-Saba al-Himari.
What does bin mean? Like, is it from?
I think it's
Probably like muck. Of?
Okay. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, so okay. His name is Hassan Mik Ali Mik Muhammad Mik Jafar bin Mik Al Hussein Mik Muhammad Mik Al Saba Al Himari. If he was Scottish, that would be his name.
Because the Al Saba and Al Himari and Al Hussein are also, it's like all hyphenated, so that might also be something different.
It is, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And only Hassan I know is junior, Piker.
I don't think. Yeah. What?
Only Hassan I know is Piker. He's a socialist.
Okay, so
born in and around 1050.
All means the in Arabic. So Al Sabah might mean something.
Hassan Piker like preaches socialism, meanwhile lives in like a $4 million house in California. He's like, I live like pretty like just within my means and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of him. It's like hot guy with 50% more opinions, and I'm like, that's not what I'm here for.
I've only watched a single video of his, and it's when he was on with Andrew Callahan. Fucking oops.
Yeah, that didn't go well. Huh?
Anyway, Hassan, our Hassan from the 1050s, not the socialist one, he is credited by real historians as being the guy who created the Order of Assassins, who officially existed from 1090 to 1275 in our real timeline. And not in the Mormon timeline, obviously, because it would have been some other guy who established them in, like, Wichita at some point in, like, the 1700s, right? The Order behaved much like the Order within the games, using a strict doctrine of subterfuge. They murdered multiple Christian and Muslim leaders within the Holy Land and thereabouts. They based themselves in Alamut Castle in Iran after capturing it, and eventually set up a second base of operations in Masyaf in Syria, which is actually where the first Assassin's Creed game takes place. So the castle where you jump off into the stack of hay is Masyaf, and the game starts in Syria. I've never fucking played it. I don't know if you leave, but that's where that first game is set, and it is in the second real base of operations of the Assassin Order.
You leave the castle, but I don't recall you going particularly far. Like, I don't think you're like
you don't leave Syria, right?
No, that's it. Like, it's much like Assassin's Creed 2, where like it takes place in Italy, but like you're not going like way outside of the scope of the area. It's not like multi-region. Yeah. Florence, I think, was
that's or, it. Yeah, excuse
yeah,
me
I believe it was in Florence because yeah. That was the seat of power at the time, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's city with 3 to 4 areas, rinse and repeat. Exactly. You only have access to one area at first, and then it slowly expand as you get more things.
Yeah. Listen, you can criticize Hassan Piker all you want, and I will sit here and take it, but I will not listen to you fucking talk shit about Assassin's Creed 2, okay?
I actually liked those games like at the beginning, and I played them too, like we said before. And I'm thinking now, I remember them looking really good. I bet you if I look at Assassin's Creed 1 gameplay now, didn't look that good.
But it's old school mocap, so a lot of the animation is still really good. The faces are fucked up and the textures are blurry. Right. Like I watched some of the old gameplay, it's
and combat not that is
bad.
Combat is all reactionary, so just like stay still, wait for someone to attack, counter. Stay still, just, wait for someone to attack, counter. Yeah.
On Xbox, it was just tap X anytime somebody attacks.
It's counter and instant kill too, so it's not even like the counter based combat of like Batman Arkham, because at least Batman needs to punch a guy twice. Like you only need to fuck a guy in the throat one time in Assassin's Creed to kill him, right?
No, and you could literally have 40 guys around you, and that's fine because you just wait for every time someone throws a punch, you hit that counter thing. Yeah.
Hyper Parry, just killing all those guys with her.
Well, that's it. What made the You could time your attacks. Like there was a kind of like a rhythm, like you'd break their guard if you hit at like the right cadence and weren't just like mashing attack.
That's true, yeah.
But in Assassin's Creed 2, they added the you could counter with the wrist blade, and that's all I did for the entire game. Just like because the kills were so cool and
You had a sword that you never needed to use because with the twin assassin's blades, the twin daggers, you could like cross them and counter that way and then stab a guy in the neck, right?
I have a memory of you went to like this church almost like area where you got the blades. It was like the place where the Assassin's Creed happens, the creed of all the assassins. And then you're like leaving and coming down this like hill, and then there's a combat thing that happens like right down the hill. And I have this burn in my memory of just of like counter after counter. I don't remember if it was me playing or watching Ethan play or what.
Unity, the one where friend of the show and patron Bray said he wished France wasn't real. In Unity, the counter combat in that one is quite good, but it's a lot more weapon focused. Honestly, after reading about these games, I'm just like, I'm gonna play the French Revolution one again. I think it's the one I want to go back to the most for some reason, because I remember being like of reasonable length as well. And like beating it and it not being like 55 fucking hours.
I'd like to try Odyssey or Black Flag eventually, TM, but we'll see.
Yeah. Black Flag, goated. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
So the real world assassins were not apolitical freedom fighters trying to protect, not out there to just like be cool centrists and not kill Hitler before he does anything. But they were actually Shia Muslims who murdered their rivals. They called themselves at the time the Nizari Ismaili Order. However, due to a misunderstanding or a mistranslation, Marco Polo called the organization Assassins, thinking that they derived their name from hashish, the locally grown drug.
Neat. Is that the actual etymology of assassin?
Yeah. I mean, it's what it said on Wikipedia again, and it's from the writings of Marco Polo from his travels. The Assassins operated for quite some time, manipulating politics in the region and spreading their influence, until the Mongols invaded, forcing them once again to return to the shadows. Following this, they would quietly branch out all over the world, including Italy, Spain, Japan, and the Americas. So that would be our episode about the Templar and the Assassin Order. I have been your host, Peter O'Donoghue. You can find my work at Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram or the Discord linked below. Come say hi, fellas.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. Assassino comes from Arabic hashishi, which was the members of the Nizari branch of the Ismaili Muslims. So literally meaning hashish eater. So he wasn't that far off. They called themselves hashishi.
And the Middle East is like where you get the most primo hash too. So that's probably where the best assassins come from.
Nothing like a big bowl of hash really make you want to assassinate and like kill and all that, right? Like,
I remember someone who wasn't shooting for the stars in high school looking at me in the middle of class, and he had like a big lump of hash in his hand. He just looked at me and he just shoved it in his mouth and ate it.
Right.
And his eyes went fucking blood red for the rest of the school day. And I guess that's what it's all about to be an assassin, right?
Yeah. That man now a justice of the peace. thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Ethan, not your host, but co-host, some would say. If you want to get in touch with us, there's a link to the Discord in the description of this episode. We also have an email, contact@loreboys.com. If you want to send us an email that we can read on air at some point in the future. Jimbo, is there anything you wanted to talk about?
No, just getting the Discord, hanging out there, playing games together. Maybe if there's some Dark and Darker fans who are out there want to get into a game, I'd like to do that. Or I was thinking about it recently when you mentioned Valhalla in terms of Assassin's Creed. If anyone's doing what's that Viking game that came out like a year ago that was
Tribes of Midgard? No, Valheim.
If anyone's starting a fresh Valheim server, I've been looking at coming back into it and see what the magic's all about and stuff. So
it's on Game Pass. If that was cross platform, I might fuck with it. Actually,
I have it on Steam. It's a lot of fun. It's like a lot of tiers. Like you start off and it's like the Bronze Age. You can only get bronze. Then you build up and you fight the first boss, and then you get your like copper pickaxe and you go through all the Iron Age, and then it's really
a smoking age.
Yeah, there ought to be
Age of the Hashishi.
It takes a lot of work if you're just a couple people, but if we have a whole server at our backs, then I'm sure they'll, like the Minecraft world, just build us tributes.
Yeah,
where
we told Magnus and Terry to not kill the Ender Dragon because we were going to make an event of it that never did.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they went out and killed the Ender Dragon in the end, so good for you guys. And if not, you have my blessing. Yeah. If you're not too busy gambling, okay, guys?
I have Terry on Instagram, and he was one of our younger fans, and I saw a picture of him hitting the slots today, and I had to share it with the boys. Attaboy, Terry, you little Australian mate.
Happy birthday, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, thanks for listening to the show, everybody. If you want to do us a favor, you could always leave us a review or just tell your friends about the show. It's how we grow, and we appreciate it. And if you guys want to support the show, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. Thanks so much to all our patrons so far. You guys really make the difference. Make the difference between honestly probably doing the show still and not doing the show anymore.
I can only imagine as a fresh dad who's got a lot of responsibilities how that could help us.
Honestly, all the listeners are the reason why we do this every single week, because it's not always easy when I made the boys here switch to weekend records as a new dad, because I'm like, man, recording at 8 p.m. my energy is pretty tapped. But like obviously with technical difficulties yesterday, sometimes we got to do it Monday night at 8 p.m. and I'll feel it in the morning basically.
Ethan's gonna be hungover from being awake at 8:01.
Man, I've drank like 2 liters of water at this point, and I'm still going. I'm just gonna like be desiccated by the end of it. There's too much, walking involved in this game.
I always liked weekends, but I'm glad we're doing it now. And you know what? Sometimes
I don't have electricity, Jamie, and it's just that's a thing that happens.
That's
right?
It. And just because I decide that I like to pull out, then I'll be the flexible one. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We used to do weekends, I'm pretty sure, and then it just became a we never got our shit together in time, so we started slowly pushing later and later.
Yeah,
and like we couldn't do Tuesday because Tuesday was raid night for James and it's D&D night for me, so we're always Monday night's literally the last time we can do it.
Monday records whenever it's my turn to write. You're right, but whenever it's your guys' turn to write, I like knocking it out on the weekend. It's like us. For the listeners at home, I think
for the Loreboys Prime, what are we offering up this week, Jimbo?
So for every beer I drink that's from a fun bottle, I get this little chastity cage. So if you listen to the show and you got a small pecker, like
huge, this is a pretty huge chastity cage, Jamie. I'm looking at it like right now, it's huge.
A lot of space for the balls, but not a lot of space for the shaft. It kind of
that's what I need. That's what I need, honestly.
All balls. That's how you have a baby,
balls.
Jamie.
All balls, no dick, as all my Dark Souls characters are always named.
When I went to school, someone spray painted in big letters in someone's kitchen, "All balls, no shaft." And that was just there all year. Yeah. Anyways, if you guys want this, I can keep you guys safe and chastised.
Paste.
Our real Patreon is patreon.com/theloreboys, where you can get access to loser titles, you can get access to bonus content, you can get access to the script sometimes, and other fun stuff. And then we have Loreboys Prime, where you get Jamie's garbage that you can put on your ding dong.
Next week will mark a year of bonus content too, guys. So if you've been waiting for us to stockpile up a bit, we're getting to that point. There's like 30 to 40 minutes every week for almost a whole year of 52 weeks.
It's probably gonna be around 28 hours of content at this point. Yeah.
Yep,
and it keeps on there. Coming.
Yeah. And they don't stop coming. And I think that would constitute a lore boys.
Lore boys.
Boys, hit the ground running. Don't stop coming. The media man said to Biffer, judging by the hole in the satellite picture.
Hey now, you're a lore boy.
Look, I have a little chastity cage for my tiny cock.
I'm leaving it in, dude.
We should put it at the end, though, because I think YouTube will flag our stuff for any bad words in the first 5 minutes. We get shut down by the algorithm.
ProZD did a video where he didn't do it and he still got demonetized. So it's all crapshoot anyway. And let's not act like YouTube is where we're making our bucks.
No, it's Spotify.
we can't monetize.
Spotify loves it if we say this is a chastity cage for my tiny cock in the first 15 seconds. I'm not leaving any of this in, so just like...
I was going to say, we can splice this on to the end afterwards. Let me know when I'm ready to do an intro.
I'm leaving in right at the top. This is a chastity cage for my tiny cock, and I'm not leaving any of this bit about explanations about what it actually is, so stop trying.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.